Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Here is a tale of two cities, the classic thing. And I'm going to play you a cut before we play any more on, sadly, what happened at this Hanukkah celebration. We have a better ending at what happened at a church. So am I saying that every synagogue, every Jewish place of worship, gathering or whatever, should have armed guards? Yes. Or armed people there. Because in places like New York, as we've seen just in the last few weeks in Jersey City, Jews are one of the biggest targets, if not the biggest target, arguably, statistically per capita in America. Yes, they are. By all manner, I don't care if they're white supremacists. I don't care if they're Muslim. Farrakhan followers. By the way, Louis Farrakhan, I have to check his Twitter out to see what he said about this. But here is the minister. I love this guy. At the church in Texas, we're not one, but two individuals. When this guy came in to open fire and massacre people at a church service. Oh, it's regrettable. No, it's not regrettable anything. This is a great day for the Second Amendment. And this minister puts it so well of what he's praising God for here, that they were able to stop this maniac coming into church to murder people. And is it unfair to say this is what every religious body should be doing? It's fine. Certainly prayer is the primary thing. But doesn't a rational course tell us that houses of worship have to protect themselves, not just by security system, but by people that can shoot and kill people that come into a house of worship, like the machete guy? Wouldn't that have been a good outcome versus years now? This guy will go through the criminal justice system. God only knows what'll happen. Here's the reverend at the church in Texas over the weekend, the minister, where this shooting happened, and in short order, it was stopped.
First off, I want to say that I am extremely thankful to Lieutenant Governor and the governor, Governor Patrick and Governor Abbott, and their rapid response to this. To the law enforcement agencies that have been here, we couldn't have asked for more professional, seamless interviews and work with our congregation and our people, and the kindness that was shown to them by law enforcement. We lost two great men today, but it could have been a lot worse. And I'm thankful that our government has allowed us the opportunity to protect ourselves. We have a congregation here of open-hearted people. We help people. We're here to help people. And to have something like this happen destroys my heart. And when I say destroys it because there is evil in this world. Today is one sermon I'll never preach. It'll go away. It was called Leaving a Legacy. And two men today left a legacy. But a congregation is going to build on that legacy.
All right, I love that line because in Texas, they recently, I believe in houses of worship, things of that nature, open carry, and you had people armed there. So rather than this approach, you already said about evil. Yeah, it's fine to do these outreach programs. It's fine to say we're alike and no home for hate and all the rest of it. You know deep in your heart, there's only one thing that's going to stop these maniacs that come into a house of worship. It's dropping them right there. That's the goal. And I'm not sure if there were more than two people there. You know, and for once, this is kind of a law enforcement. Dan, this is the DPS director. What's DPS? Department of Public Safety in Texas? I think it's Department of Public Safety, Jeff Williams. I want to make mention of that because I get sick and tired of some in law enforcement who never want to tell citizens, yeah, that's right. These guys were armed and effective, and they stopped this evil. Well, we don't want people doing that. Oh, stop it already. Even with the best intention and all that, how many people would have been killed? This is Texas, though. Here's the Department of Public Safety Director Jeff Williams. Here's what he said about what happened in this church.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Williams. Thank you again for coming. I want to echo the comments that have already been made here tonight. It cannot be overstated how important it is that everyone recognize what took place here today. The citizens who were inside that church undoubtedly saved 242 other parishioners. And that might get swept aside in this whole conversation about active shooter response. And God knows law enforcement has done a whole bunch of work to make our response better. We needed to do that. But we're starting to find out that, as the Lieutenant Governor mentioned, over half of these are over before we get there. And I want to commend the chief and his department. Their response was, I mean, it's never going to get faster than that. It was miraculous. And so the true heroes in this are the people who were sitting in those pews today and responded, the immediate responders that saved their fellow citizens. And I just can't overstate how critical that is. It's for everyone to recognize it is truly heroic, and the citizens of this community have a lot to be proud of for their response.
Now, even this guy, Dan, in Texas knows he has to couch his words. He can't say what bloviating talk show hosts like me are saying and just spell it out. Thank God it was Texas. Thank God there were two of them that fired there. You know, when these things happen, the media doesn't do their job. They don't pin down and get to the bottom of this. And let's see a vote on this, up or down. Is it a good idea? Well, you know, people might start firing at each other. 855-839-1210. Which do you think those people in Texas, if given an opportunity, would rather have? Taking their chances with these two citizens or waiting until the police got there and this guy murdered how many people? Because the point he's trying to make is, no matter how quickly they get there, no matter what the response is, it is not going to stop a massacre. There's only one thing that's going to stop that, and that's what happened in Texas. Well, we can't be calling for that, though. We're places of worship, meaning that sounds hateful. Is it? Or isn't it protecting the flock? Which one is it, once and for all? And I wonder if that bothers you. Every time we see these situations, we never get direct answers on anything because it doesn't fit the narrative of progressives and of the media. They don't like what the bottom line is here. And the bottom line is this was a tale of two cities. Unfortunately, I'm assuming, you know, where this was located and all the Jewish center is an out-of-the-way, you know, you would never expect there. It's off the beaten path that a maniac's going to show up with a machete, right? Well, the other was in Texas. And people there, not even thinking about it, they're packing. And what happened? This guy was stopped. Isn't that what every house of worship, every public, what kind of America is that? Well, it's a much safer America, I think. What are the odds? Just in the last umpteen number of hours, to see a tale of two cities, to see what happened in this church. What's the lesson to take? Well, we don't want to take any lessons. We never want to take any lessons away when it doesn't fit the progressive narrative. The lesson is, if you have armed people there, there's not going to be a massacre. That's what the lesson is. And if you don't want to do that, then you're going to be at risk. Isn't that the lesson? So the Texas church, this guy comes in with the machete. It would be like Dan the Untouchables, right? Sean Connery. Isn't that just like, I won't say the word, you know, derogatory for Italian, to bring a knife to a gunfight? Well, this ain't a knife, it's a machete. Well, this is a shotgun. I'm going to blow you away. Remember that scene inside Sean Connery's apartment before Frank Nitti blasted him with the machine gun? Mm-hmm. Isn't that just like a blank to bring a knife to a gunfight? Right? Well, what would have happened to Mr. Machete? Would he have been walking around screaming his delusional stuff and doing whatever he wanted to? No. He would have been dead in 3 to 5 seconds. In Texas, the other guy was armed, and they still took him out. It's just amazing how we go back and forth. Well, we don't want to live in that type of America. Well, I think a lot of people do. And if you don't, then stop complaining about it and get used to it then. Stop blaming Trump. Stop blaming the NRA. This was a machete. Is there a National Machete Association? Is there someone that speaks well of machetes? As soon as I hear the machete, I think, look, we're not in the jungles of South America. You know, this guy's got a machete sitting next to him on his desk. He's not exactly opening envelopes up with it, you know? What do you do with a machete? When do you use a machete in common everyday parlance, you know? Does this guy chop down the weeds around his house with a machete? So suddenly, the media, we're not interested in that. I predict they're not going to be interested too much longer in the machete attack and the attack upon Jews in New York. The reason is it doesn't check any box. So what box are they desperately hanging on with today to keep the narrative going? The Trump box. And we're back to, I'm sure they'll be playing Charlottesville. I'm sure the Democrat candidates for president, Joe Biden, will probably recite something crazy. Biden yesterday wants to put into jail fossil fuel executives because of pollution. Put him in jail. And he's the front runner. Wow. 855-839-1210. You get a line. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push #1210. Here is the greater Cuomo, if he is. I'm telling you, I know Rich has a great designation of Chris Cuomo as the lesser Cuomo. But I got to say, in a race to the bottom, this guy is getting, he's gaining on Fredo. Here's Governor Cuomo yesterday, edging toward going after Trump, fomenting hate.
Tend to treat these situations as isolated episodes. But really, if we just connect the dots,
we
have a pattern of hate in this nation that is only getting worse. We've seen almost weekly attacks on people based on race, color, creed. Mm-hmm. It's hate motivated. Apparently, there was another shooting in Texas today in a church.
Yeah.
But we've seen attacks against African Americans, Latinos, LGBTQ community. And let's call it what it is. And let government act, because this can destroy this nation. It is corrosive. It's an American cancer. It starts at the top, and then it goes on to a point where it becomes viral across this nation. And it is now viral. And you see it coming to the surface in different manifestations from coast to coast.
Well,
and we're comforted treating it as isolated episodes, but there's a pattern to all of this, and it spells hate. I mean, what can anyone make of President Trump's tweets, right? They say more about the sender than anything else. New York, he believes, is a Democratic state, and this is how he plays to his partisan base by demonizing Democrats. Democrats are evil. Democrats are bad. Democrats have lost their mind. They're anti-American. You foment that hate. And then you're shocked when you see these episodes of hate all across the country. that has now become the dialogue and the currency of this nation, and it's in politics. But it resonates out of the politics into society. And now you see people who are acting out on those hateful acts, and people are impressionable. And some people are lost, and some people are vessels, and some people are ill. And they hear it, and they respond.
Where the heck? Who the heck? I'd love to interview that guy and just scream at him for 5 minutes. The guy interviewing this maniac. Not to ask for clarification, connection, evidence. What the hell is this guy talking about? This is the media in action. Make another point there. What evidence of this? What's the evidence? What's the connection to any of this? Well, no other narrative is working. So let's go back to Trump's Twitter. Let's go back to this. Let's not examine the actual perpetrators. Let's not get at the motive that's been going on against the Jewish community in New York for quite a while, all the way back to the Sharpton days. Let's not examine any of that. Let's not examine the black Israelite followers and what they did in Jersey City. Don't examine that. Don't connect that. Don't get specific at that. Hope we can find a white supremacist. 855-839-1210. You get a line. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push pound 1210. This is what they go back to when the other narratives are not working. And you can judge a story like this. They'll get tired of it. Why? It doesn't have guns. It's got a machete. It doesn't have white supremacists. It doesn't have Trump supporters. It doesn't have Trump even. Well, yeah, but it's a great narrative. We want to keep it going. So what do? We're going to make Trump the story here. And somehow or another, maniacs like this are being egged on by Trump. Where's the evidence? Where's the connection? Where's the logic? There is none. This is what they resort to when the other narratives, they just can't continue it. We don't like this story anymore. Don't you have anything else that we can put out there that we can attack conservatives and Trump with? You got to be kidding me. This is a bad narrative. In fact, Jake Tapper, of all people, asked yesterday, the head of the ADL, he had on, well, don't you think there'd be more outrage if they were white supremacists? Why is there not the same outrage here, given the person? And he got a complete non-answer. It's because it's the narrative. It's not the violence. It's not the people that are dead. It's not any of those things. It's what can we continue to put out that is the headline that fits the progressive agenda. That's all that it is. That's what the media has degenerated to. All right, phone lines at the end of your call, too. Just hit us with the photo that you think is the iconic photo. Dan has offered up one. Dan, I'm about ready. If I don't get it by 6:45, I'm going to have to drop the big one here, the all-time that I don't think can be beaten. Just a threat. I love yours. Dan's was that photo of the iron workers on a steel beam, 1,000 feet or more up, eating their lunch casually, legs dangling. Oh, you got pastrami today, huh? The clock is ticking, Dan. The potties are. Jim Kenney, for some reason, has set up this deadline and wants to go down to the last minute of it to name the police commissioner on New Year's Eve. And I think he's trying to think, hey, I'll wait till everybody's drunk or something. The slowest news day of the year. It's amazing. Now, I'm told this morning that one of the contenders wouldn't be too bad, even though I've jousted with him over the years. It's Tom Nestle, the SEPTA guy, head of the police over there. He's in contention. But the feeling is it's going to be an outsider who is extremely liberal, extremely progressive in the police department. Now, you might be saying, well, I'm out in the suburbs, Tom. How many times do I have to tell you that? Hey. These things bleed over all over the place. So we already have Kenny, who's weak, Larry Krasner, who's aggressively weakened, and then a weak police commissioner. That's what I'm told may be happening. But this silliness of trying to disguise who it is kind of tells me all that we need to know of what Kenny will be up to, of who he'll pick, and why he'll pick them to satisfy the mob in Philadelphia, who just wants to set murder records. Hey, Dan, can you look up? I don't know what the murder number, current murder number is in Philadelphia. I know that Baltimore is making national news because they set a record for Baltimore with a few days left in this year. And why did they set a record? And why will they continue to set a record? Well, they're anti-cops. You got the Ferguson effect. You have corruption. You have failing schools. You have just all kinds of things like that. You don't have to see The Wire to know what's going on in Baltimore. It is Murder City.
Year to date so far for 2019, there have been 353 homicide victims.
In Philadelphia?
Yes.
Yeah, I think when you get over 300 is where Philadelphia starts to be having a, quote, bad year. So 353, and you still have to do with the carnage of New Year's Eve and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, so it's 353. Last year, they topped out at 352.
So already, right. Now, you know, these things are random. One death, but you can see the Krasner effect. And yet, you'll hear ministers, you'll hear people talking about blaming Trump, the NRA, guns, God knows what else, rather than this is what you, it's a formula, and this is what you're going to get.
When did Krasner come into office?
Krasner came into office in an off-year election. Has he been in office now 2 years? I know it's more than one. I don't think it's three.
So 2016, it was 277. 2017, it was 312. 2018, it's 352, and right now we're sitting at 353.
Yeah, when did he come into office?
I have to get that exact time.
Let's see. I don't think it was last year. Could last year be the first year of I guess it's possible.
2017. So he came into office in 2017. In 2016, the murder rate was 277. 2017, it rocketed up to 312, and he keeps going up to 2018 with 352.
Ah, come on now. That's random. There's no causal element, you know, and it's not just the murder rate. That's the most visible. It's just daily crime that he dumbs down, does something else with so that we don't know the numbers or what's going on. Yet, Philadelphia is fat and happy and will continue down this trail, and the FOP is moving heaven and earth. But I believe it's going to be tough to find the right person to beat Krasner because Philadelphia wants this stuff. It's just ignorance squared. They will never connect. When you have sitting on the panel picking the police commissioner, Malcolm Jenkins and Meek Mill, well, it tells you what city you're in. All right, phone lines are 855. And Dan, do you have Baltimore's? So Philadelphia was 353 and counting. Baltimore set a record, I believe, for Baltimore, and that's really saying something. I'm not sure what they came up with, but it's not, what is it, a third of the size of Philadelphia, if that, something like that? 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless, all you have to do is just push #1210.
Yeah, it looks like it passed its all-time high homicide rate, which was a 2017 record of 342. I don't have the current numbers, though, but it did pass the 342 number.
Wow. So let's think about this now. A city, what is Baltimore, about 750,000? Is it even that? And Philadelphia is allegedly like 1.2 million, something like that. I'm just doing these. I haven't seen the most recent ones. And yet, Baltimore is right there on our heels, even with Larry Krasner. Wow. To tell you about Baltimore. I wonder how Wilmington is doing this year, too, the other murder capital, with their murder rate.
So Baltimore is just under 700,000, Philadelphia 1.5 mil.
Allegedly, yeah. So yeah. We're double the size and more. And yet Baltimore is only about 10 murders behind. And there's no element here. And nobody raises their hand and says, who's been in charge in Baltimore, Philadelphia, all these places forever. We know who, progressives, and more progressive all the time. Well, yeah, but what's your point? What does that have to do with the murder rate? All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. You get in. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push pound 1210. Now, over this last week or so, holiday season, Christmas season and all, the Christianity Today guy started the initial attack around matters of faith. Remember that? With evangelicals and President Trump. Now, Chuck Todd yesterday on Meet the Press, just moments it seemed like earlier, Chuck Todd was out there covering what was going on with the shooting in Texas, right? But yesterday, he goes off, reads a letter, and compares people of faith to believers of fairy tales. And Dan, I think you actually have the money line. He says a lot of Trump political supporters want to be lied to all the time, right?
No. He says about his own viewers.
Oh, his own viewer.
Yeah, he says when talking to his executive producer, they talk about how the viewers like to be lied to sometimes.
All right, there you go.
We've never had that discussion, Dom, I can promise you.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Dan, the next caller comes in. You're spectacular. Oh, what a call that was. So far, I've argued with a doctor this morning. It's over vaping. All right, so here's Chuck Todd going after people who believe in the Bible and Noah and things like that.
I want to read you guys a letter to the editor that we found in the Lexington Herald Leader. It was a fascinating attempt at trying to explain why some people support President Trump. Here's what he says. Why do good people support Trump? It's because people have been trained from childhood to believe in fairy tales. This set their minds up to accept things that make them feel good. The more fairy tales and lies he tells, the better they feel. Show me a person who believes in Noah's Ark, and I will show you a Trump voter. It look, this gets at something, Dean, that my executive producer likes to say is, hey, voters want to be lied to sometimes. They don't always love being told hard truths.
Wow. This is the trifecta with this follically challenged moron. All right. So the trifecta here is if you believe in Noah's Ark, then voters want to be lied to, and his viewers apparently. But whoever this executive producer is, that's Dan's job, right? Can imagine this guy. And then at the end of it, the fairy tales thing comes up, and that explains Trump voters. It's never ending.
It's nuts.
It is just incredible. And they keep on looking for a way to defeat Trump, but they really, they can't discipline. Here's why Trump won't lose. They can't discipline themselves toward what might defeat him politically. The type of candidate, the type of policies, they just can't do it. The juices start flowing and they say, I don't care. Now I feel good. It's the real me. They want to hold it in, every one of them running against them, but they can't. It comes out. So the longer campaigns go on, the longer debates go on, the more they can't hide what they're all about. Can you imagine? This guy has a one-hour show all week to prepare for, essentially. And this is what he comes up, the Lexington Herald Times. This explains Trump voters now. Now we know what it's about.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.